Well, here we are for another day of fun and frolicking on the automotive front. To some of you, that may not sound like fun, but it is fun. If you like cars, love cars, drive cars, you know, everybody's life, as I've said many times on this show, is touched by the automobile. I guess even if you don't have a driver's license, somebody has to convey you from one place to another in a car, unless you would live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then you could ride in a horse and buggy. Of course, all of those folks, Amish is of whom I speak, do not live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's just where I think of. You know, I found out several years ago, I was doing some history on Ancestry.com, and I found out that a large segment of my ancestors or predecessors were Mennonites. I didn't know that. I'm not ashamed of that. I really don't even know what it means. But I know that they came into Pennsylvania and stayed there and then migrated south to West Virginia, southern West Virginia, which at the time, I guess it was Virginia. It wasn't West Virginia until after, or maybe even at the beginning of the Civil War. But I digress. We also, and then we ended up moving when my dad decided to become a Chevrolet dealer in Greenville, Tennessee. And that's how we ended up becoming volunteers. Now, when I moved here, I was 14. So I'm 60. Well, I will be 65. My birthday is November 17th of this year, and I will be 65. And so I'm definitely old. But I am relatively healthy, I think, and I'm glad to be able to call Tennessee my home. Graduated from high school here and University of Tennessee, and all my kinfolk are down here now. I don't think there's any, well, there's probably some people that I don't know their names are still up in West Virginia. But, you know, it's a great state. It's being panned a little bit right now. People are slamming, I guess, Senator Manchin because of his obstinance and deciding to take a stand, you know, for him and his constituents, his state. He is a moderate Democrat. And, you know, I guess I don't like it when people call you names because you disagree with them. You know, I think everybody should have the right, don't you, to disagree without, you know, coming to blows. But I think probably the best overall thing to do right now is just in my continuous journey to maintain some degree of sanity is to not listen to the news. Only take little small bites. It's kind of like going to the movie theater and instead of getting the big old bucket, you know, with all the butter, maybe double shot of butter, you know, just getting a small bag, because that's probably all we need. And a small bag of news is probably all we need, too, just so we can stay relatively informed, so we can get in arguments with our some of our friends. I about got into an argument with an employee the other day. He said, well, you can't ask me that. That's a HIPAA violation. I said, a HIPAA violation? I'm not even sure what that is. I thought that applied to hospitals and so forth. He said, well, you can't ask me if I've been vaccinated. I said, well, I was just wondering. You know, I wasn't trying to invade your personal space. Sorry. Anyway, can an employer ask an employee if they've had the vaccine? Well, according to the government, the Department of Health, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, and some other privacy considerations, we can ask, as an employer, we can ask somebody if they have had the vaccine. Now, what does HIPAA, have you ever heard of that term? You probably have. When you go to the hospital, well, you got to sign this HIPAA form. What's that? You just got to sign it. Shut up. Who does HIPAA apply to? Well, it actually does not apply to all businesses or employers. The privacy rule about your health care issues and what drugs you take and diseases you might have or whatever, only covers certain entities, which would include health plans, health care clearinghouses, not sure what that is, and health care providers that conduct standard electronic transactions, and to some extent to certain business associates of those covered entities. Well, since we sell cars and fix cars, then we are not covered by HIPAA. So if I want to ask somebody if they've been vaccinated, I can. Now, you know, I totally agree. That is personal and private information. I was just asking just out of curiosity. We were having a conversation back there, and I've been vaccinated. I'm not bragging about it. I just felt like that was right for me. But I tell you what, I think if somebody doesn't want to get vaccinated, that is their right, and it's none of your business. Now, some people are, I guess, saying that it is their business because they can, you know, get your disease or whatever. You may end up making them sick. I don't know about all that kind of stuff, folks. I really don't. All I know is what I'm going to do and what I think should be done for, you know, me and my family, and what you do for you and your family is none of my beeswax. I had a guy send me an email, said, I kind of got a little bit on some of the hot topics of the day when it comes to differences between liberal philosophies and conservative philosophies. He says, you need to take a stand. And I said, no, I don't. This is a this is a show about cars and how it affects people's lives and stuff, and that's what I'm going to stick to. And speaking of that, I am so excited about this Mustang that I bought. I bought a 1966 Mustang Fastback, 2+2, which means that it has two seats and two more seats in the back, and it has a fold-down section, that a fold-down rear seat, so you have a big trunk area. And it's a K-code, which means it has the high-performance engine in it, and it's pretty valuable. And I actually got to see it last night for the first time. It came in. I sent a guy up to New Jersey to pick it up, and he was able to make it back, thank goodness, on my unenclosed trailer. A better name would be an open trailer. There you go. And so no scratches, no dents, dings, or anything. But how often do you buy something and it exceeds your expectations? With me, it's not very often. My wife bought me some new blue jeans the other day, and I didn't really want any new blue jeans, but she said my blue jeans were too faded and had too many holes in them and stains on them that she couldn't get out. So she decided to buy me some new blue jeans. Now, these are the bluest blue jeans I've ever seen. They're dark. Normally, I get slightly faded blue jeans. And my expectations were not good. But you know, when I put those things on, they felt pretty good. And you know why they felt good? Because they're stretchy. Now, I've never had stretchy blue jeans. I thought that was against the rules for blue jeans. But apparently, it is not. And it works real good if you have a slight protuberance in terms of a gut, you know what I'm talking about. So I had no expectations because I didn't know she was getting them. But once I saw them, my expectations were low. I put them on; they were exceeded. I like them, and I look really good in them. I'm just kidding. Now this Mustang, my expectations were going to be a nice daily driver car that was restored to a pretty high degree. I mean, you can only tell so much from pictures. And it had plenty of pictures. It had plenty of comments that the guy had made about the car when it was listed on the Bring a Trailer auction. But there's just some things you can't describe. And when I got to the shop last night to look at the car, I hadn't seen it. It was already up on a lift. And I asked Johnny, I said, well, Johnny, he's my guy. I said, Johnny, how good is it? He said, you remember the 72 Chevrolet C10 that we had? And I said, yeah. He said, it's better than that. I said, well, that's really good. And he said, you remember the, 1982 Jeep CJ7 that we had? And I said, yeah. He said, it's better than that. So I knew it was really good because I knew how good those other vehicles were. Looked underneath, it looked like a brand new 1966 Mustang. It even had all the markings. Like when people restore cars to a competitive level, they will mark them with like grease pencils and stuff where the factory does. They do that to identify, like, you know, this particular drive shaft has been balanced, or this particular job is done. You know, they mark them so that they know that it's been completed, or that this thing has been inspected. Sometimes they're just, like I say, inspection marks that are made. Well, when you restore a car to that level, you add those back to the car so that it looks like it rolled off the factory floor. This car doesn't look like it rolled off the factory floor. They never look this good coming from the factory, and that's what you want to see. Now, here's the downside of that. Downside of that is I was hoping this would be a car that I could drive, you know, and actually go to Asheville in it, or, you know, a rare case, drive it to Knoxville, or go on the Blue Ridge Parkway, you know, just have fun with it. I would really feel bad doing that, especially if I ran into rain. It's too nice. So I don't know. There is no pleasing me, I guess. But I'm going to please you and take my first break. I'll be back here in just a second. Okay, I'm back. Have you heard of Carvana? So Carvana started with a lot of advertising several years ago, and they're the people that you can buy a used car from totally online, and then they'll deliver it to your door. And I'd never recommend that somebody buy a car that way. They do have a return privilege that you can, if you're not satisfied, you can send it back. So, you know, that gives you a certain degree of comfort. But I don't want to buy a used car unless it's passed my multiple tests, including the smell test. I want to make sure that it doesn't have a odor on the inside. And, you know, that's something that you cannot test online. So, anyway, that's just the way I feel about it. But they have, they've really shaken up the industry. In every 2 minutes, Carvana buys another car from one of its customers. The online used car retailer bought 203,000 cars from customers last year. That's more than they sold. In the new car space, NADA has figured that 43% of new car sales include a trade-in. That doesn't surprise me one bit. Looking at the numbers of that statistic, that means that 7.5 million out of the 17.5 million total new car sales last year came with a trade-in as part of the deal. Now, the average age of all cars on the road today is 11 years. That's up from 8 years back in 1995. And drivers who buy a new car tend to keep them for 6 years. That's up from 4 years in 2006. So people are trading in less often. And so there's shortages that are creeping up. So as customers keep their cars longer than ever, then trade-ins will continue to be valued higher and getting better dollars for your invested dollars. Cars used to be a terrible investment, and now they're not so much so. Hertz just came into the news recently. They bought 100,000 Teslas as a part of a plan to electrify their fleet. Now, the new interim CEO of Hertz is a guy that used to be the CEO of Ford. His name is Mark Fields. Back when I first heard that name, he was the CEO of Mazda. So he's been moving through the ranks. He got fired as the CEO of Ford, and they brought in a guy who was the former CEO of Steelcase, which was a furniture manufacturer. Guess how that worked out? None too good. The CEO of Ford now this kind of sounds like a joke, but it's true. His name is Jim Farley. His first cousin, was a really famous actor who died of a drug overdose and was on Saturday Night Live. What was his name that also ended in Farley? That's right, Chris Farley. His cousin is now the CEO of the Ford Motor Company. Let's hope that that doesn't turn out to be a joke. You know, something else I saw that was interesting in the news is average transaction prices. Now, when you look at the prices of vehicles, they're talking about inflation, and you can see it right here. You know, automobile segment makes up a big portion of overall purchases in this country. One of the biggest increases as far as segments is concerned is minivans. They had the largest year-over-year increase as consumers wanted more family-friendly transportation options. Increase in prices of 17.8%. That's huge. The next biggest increase was mid-sized cars, which is kind of interesting. You know, mid-sized cars used to be like Chevelles, Tauruses, cars like that. Now it's like Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, Mazda 6, those cars. They're up, transaction prices up 11.3%. You know, and I do think a lot of this has to do with the fact that there just aren't any rebates right now. But anyway, we'll look at this segment. So what does an average minivan transaction price look like? Well, a year ago, it was $36,531. Now it's $43,033. Mid-sized cars up from $27,200 to $30,002. Let's see, luxury full-size crossovers. Now, this is a pricey segment. 2020 of June, average transaction price was $90,375. June 2021 is $99,700. That's up 10.3%. Hybrids have stayed relatively flat. Full-size pickup trucks have really gotten more expensive, about 8.7% from $52,600 to $57,267. And then subcompacts have... you know, that's an area that has really gotten expensive. I remember it seemed like about 5 years ago, you know, you could buy a pretty decent subcompact car like a Fiesta or some of those little Hyundai Elantras and cars like that for in the, you know, $13,000 to $15,000 range. And now the average transaction price is $20,646. They've thrown in a lot of technology into small cars to make people safer. You know, there was a time... You know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't buy one of my kids something really small to drive, you know, like a Civic or a old Toyota Corolla, something like that. I just would not buy them cars like that because, or have them drive cars like that. I just felt they weren't safe. But now I've changed. You know, one of the safest cars we sell is a little Nissan Sentra and the Nissan Altima. Those cars are... they have all kinds of safety gear, electronics, and stuff to keep you from running into people. I love the collision avoidance technology. You know, something that keeps you from getting into an accident. You know, you want the airbags to protect your youngins and you. You want the seatbelts to work right, the bumpers to absorb what they're supposed to, the crumple zones that allow the passenger compartment to stay intact, even in a major collision. But I'd rather not be in a collision at all. And if something can grab my attention with like an alarm, like cross-traffic alert, that's a great feature. Make sure you don't buy a car without it. Automatic braking, another thing that you need to make sure that why buy a new car that doesn't have automatic braking? You know, that guarantees that even if you don't pay attention, that the car will stop. If you're looking at your cell phone or whatever, the car will stop. That's great technology. And I don't know how foolproof it is, but I think it works really well, and it's something that you need to ask your salesperson before you go buy a car. Does this have automatic braking? What type of collision avoidance technology is on this vehicle? And, you know, if they don't know because they haven't studied or they're new or whatever, or they've been there a long time and don't care about that stuff. All they care about is price. And they think that that's all you care about is the price and payment. Then maybe you need to just, you know, get on your saddle and ride out. Ride into the sunset. Go someplace else. You know, as I've said for many years, there's nothing better than, or there's probably nothing more fortunate or fortuitous for you to do than to run into a really good salesperson who knows his product. Forget about how his selling skills are, closing skills, all that stuff. That's not to your best advantage. The best advantage to you is to you know, have the data and the information that you need to make a good decision from a pricing standpoint, but to run into a person who knows their product and can display or can present the features and benefits of the car that you're trying to buy. That's important. So don't buy anything without the latest safety tech for your youngins or for yourself for that matter, because you matter too. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, final segment here. You know, if you don't think that this chip shortage matters, look at Toyota's numbers. Toyota production fell more than a third global production. They're the number one automaker in the world. And it fell more than a third due to the lack of semiconductors. They produced 512,765 vehicles in September. That was down from 841,915 a year earlier, and a year earlier it wasn't that great. Their global sales fell 16% for the month. So inventories are still going to be slim for a long time. So what do? Go order a car. If you want a car in the next 6 months, let's say 3 to 6 months, go to the dealership, come to Gateway if you want a Ford or a Nissan. But if you don't and you want to go someplace else, then go and order a vehicle. Now, some import manufacturers don't really technically order vehicles. They just put you on a list. And when vehicles become available from the pool inventory, they grab them. But, you know, if they don't know you want something, then you're not going to get it. And don't be afraid to leave a deposit. Just make sure it is a refundable deposit if the dealership fails to come through for you when it comes to availability. All of my deposits that we get at Gateway are refundable unless somebody orders something really, really weird. And then it may not be. But most, you know, it's really, we can't really order red vehicles with blue interiors anymore. I mean, the factory will not let you screw up really bad. So don't worry about that. If they won't give you a refundable deposit, you know, maybe you want to go someplace else, make a few phone calls. Because nobody can promise a delivery date. I don't care who they are. If they tell you they can, they're lying to you. They cannot promise a delivery date unless they are buying a car from another dealer who has committed to give up one. So just don't believe the bull when you hear it. If you have any other questions, call me, 423-552-2020. This is the Car Guru, and I'm glad to be with you this morning, and we'll see you tomorrow.